Hello, my name is Keith Larson. You're listening to a Solution Spotlight episode of the Control Amplified podcast, sponsored today by Honeywell Process Automation. Today I'm coming to you live from the 50th anniversary Honeywell Users Group meeting in Phoenix, Arizona, where I'm joined by Honeywell's Marcus Dottilio. He's global vertical lead for Honeywell's LNG and gas processing business to talk about the role liquefied natural gas, or LNG as we commonly call it, is playing across a dynamic energy landscape. Thanks so much for joining me, Marcos. Really appreciate you taking the time to share your perspectives with me and with our listeners. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, great. Well, let's start kind of big picture. Maybe you can share a little bit of your perspective on the role that the LNG is currently playing in an increasingly volatile and dynamic landscape.
Yeah, absolutely. So LNG is becoming more and more crucial for the global dynamics. The gas is more and more part of the equation of the energy resilience in the different countries and so on. The demand for energy is growing, and gas is going to be the main pillar for the energy transition as well. Yeah. That's what we are seeing, and that's how we see the market reacting in that sense. Mm-hmm. So the demand for gas keeps growing, and we saw, for example, last year, yeah, in 2025, a record year for FIDs, mm-hmm, 15% increase in the global capacity of, mm-hmm, LNG. Yeah. And in US specifically, we had over 50% new capacity, wow, being coming in with those FIDs.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems like electrical power and natural gas are becoming the lingua franca, the common, more common platform for mobility as well as stationary energy. That's no,
yeah,
doubt about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you mentioned the FIDs with the final investment decisions, as I recall. Can you really, what are some of the investment considerations that the energy companies are making at this point to really invest in new LNG capacity and new facilities? What are those considerations?
So that's a very good point. So understanding a little bit of the dynamics on how those investments are made are very important. So historically, and I like to point that out, historically, and I'm sure you remember when US had the initial plan of building several import, mm-hmm, terminals.
Yeah.
Then suddenly shale
now
gas.
Now we're going the other way.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Suddenly shale gas booms, yeah, and then we become a net exporter, right? On the other hand, you see a lot of the commitments from the different countries on moving away from fossil fuels, mm-hmm, reducing their emissions, yeah, electrifying further, and so on. At the same time, you have countries that are going through the development of their own infrastructure and so, mm-hmm, on. All of that will demand energy. So, yeah, it's not that we are going away from an energy demand increase. We are rebalancing the sources of that, mm-hmm, right? And, yeah, that being said, like you mentioned, mm-hmm, alternative sources of energy are part of that equation, but gas, yeah, is still a large portion of that. Yeah. Right. Then you have also in consideration the different, the seasonal demands that some, yeah, of those regions have, yeah, and that also affects the energy demand. Yeah. So that being said, gas, the demand for gas is increasing, yeah, right? The main drivers for an investment of that is you having first an access to land, access, mm-hmm, to gas. You have access to the product.
In a lot of cases, it's a byproduct from petroleum as well. So
exactly.
Got to do something, yeah, with it. Yeah.
And we see that happening, for example, on new evaluations now with Venezuela coming back on stream.
Yeah.
Right. There's a lot of gas that can be used in export there as well. So the investment decision is, do I have access to that product, yeah, right? And the second one is, do I have someone to buy it? And right, the middle of that is, do I have the right technologies, bankability, and all of that? And that is where companies like Honeywell play a very major role, because having the access to an end-to-end type of solution, a bankable type of solution, mm-hmm, a lot of experience in the market, and so on, we can support on those investment decisions. But of course, it comes on a natural way of supply and demand. And, mm-hmm, we see the demand coming from different countries, especially for energy resilience.
Yeah.
And in this specific moment where geopolitics plays or throws a new variable in all this equation, this is becoming more and more part of also of the decision of the investments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess given that volatility is now a constant, as it were.
Yeah.
Are there things Honeywell can do now to accommodate some of those ups and downs in the cycle, more than maybe you could have a few years ago?
Yeah. Absolutely, we can. So yeah. I would point to two data points that came from Wood Mackenzie recently.
Okay.
The first one is that Wood Mackenzie is considering that, or is stating that volatility is the new standard. Right. Mm-hmm. The second one is if we look at the supply and demand on the LNG market, and with the new investments and the new capacity coming on stream, Wood Mackenzie is reporting that by 2028 we're gonna start having a constraint in that supply chain in terms of having more capacity than demand, which will push the break-even cost down. Mm-hmm. Right. So, how Honeywell can help in that sense? So first, we have a lot of very exciting technologies, and I hope you have seen during the event.
Absolutely.
We just came out with the new release of Experian Cognition, mm-hmm. which is an amazing tool. But that, along with different solutions that we have, we can apply to look into the optimization, the supply chain, different supply chain scenarios, the variabilities that the plants are being incurred right now, and we can also look at all those opportunities that come in the market. Mm-hmm. For example, we used to have a situation where 80% or plus of the trades were based on the LTAs. Nowadays, we have 60-40. Okay. So the spot market is increasing as well, right? And those technologies that focus on the process optimization, that will augment your operation, that will ensure operational resilience throughout advanced solutions or enhanced automation solutions, they will play a major role in supporting those customers on this journey.
Mm-hmm. And I think you've made a few acquisitions of late as well, like Compressor Controls Corporation, and I don't know how much Sundyne plays into the LNG market, but those are a couple of big ones that come to mind that you can bring to bear not just the controls, but the actual equipment as well.
So Honeywell made a very clear movement and focus on the LNG space. And the idea is, how do we make it simple? So if you look from a customer perspective, a owner's operator perspective, and an investment perspective, or even from an EPC perspective, they're always looking for less interfaces. How do I mitigate the risk of the execution?
Yeah.
How do I can expedite my execution? Because it's time to market. It's time to first LNG.
Absolutely.
And in this volatile world, if you can bring LNG to the market earlier, you can take advantage of better prices and so on.
Yeah.
So Honeywell has made a few acquisitions over the years. It always started with the foundation of having the control systems and advanced solutions. Then we incorporated around 2 years ago, the Air Products LNG business that is now called Honeywell LNG, which gives us the piece on the liquefaction. And by the way, Honeywell LNG is responsible for 68% of all the world's liquefaction capacity.
Okay.
It's based on Honeywell LNG technology. Along with that, we also have the UOP pretreatment of the gas.
Yeah.
And jointly with CCC and Sundyne, that can provide compressors and pumps for either export or import terminals, we came with an end-to-end solution that can help the customers expedite the time to LNG.
Make it easy for them to buy the whole bundle from one company.
Absolutely. Right. And reducing the cost, the risk, and expediting the time to value.
Because you've gone through the integrations, these systems work well together.
And that is where we have been focused most of the past years. With the acquisitions, it's literally how can we leverage both sides. So we started embedding more and more the domain expertise coming from Honeywell LNG, from UOP mm-hmm. gas treatment, now from CCC and Sendai, into our existing solutions.
Yeah.
So you have pre-configured, enhanced control schemes,
mm-hmm.
proprietary control procedures that are all embedded in our
mm-hmm.
control system, along with CCC domain expertise also embedded in our control system. And the idea is, how do we bring the power of that domain expertise into the control system and help the customers achieve more?
And I would imagine the next step, if you look at the Experian cognition, bring that on top of that, and you're going to have a really tough combination to beat out in the marketplace.
Experian cognition is going to be a game changer.
Yeah. In what ways do you really see Experian cognition changing and amplifying and making more effective your solutions? What are the things that you'll be able to do that are a little more manual perhaps now, or are there some examples that you can share?
Absolutely. So Experian cognition, if we look at the vision of the cognition platform,
mm-hmm.
starting with Experian cognition, but going beyond and having a plant cognition, an engineering cognition, and other
mm-hmm.
pieces that are coming futurely to market as well. Experian cognition has the ability of stitching together all those siloed solutions that today we have, plus bringing the power of an agentic AI to help the operators either with optimizing what they are already doing on their operations, or bridging the gap on the skill set, which mm-hmm. we have seen over the years.
There is that.
Which is
just about
thing.
Every industry, yes.
Absolutely. And it's a big thing because it has a direct impact not only on your productivity, on your performance, but also has a direct impact on safety and reliability.
Mm-hmm.
So we are attacking the different fronts because they are all interconnected.
Yeah.
And Experian cognition will be able to bring all of that. So we will be able to automate processes. We will be able to constantly learn. We will be able to capture the learning of the operation. And we will be able to augment the operator in that sense.
Are there other examples of specific customers? You don't have to name the customers, of where that you can point to where you've done some unique things of late?
Oh, absolutely. So LNG is a very interesting segment, and we have customers, major big customers in the Middle East,
yeah,
and also big customers in Asia Pacific,
sure,
that are, I would say, they are ahead of the curve because of the maturity level of their operations and so on. And we have been doing different types of co-innovation and collaboration with them on developing technologies as well. And they have been instrumental in that sense, because the collaboration of both sides' domain expertise are being crucial for us to bring.
Both sides are learning new things.
Absolutely.
Along the way.
Absolutely. And then you see aging assets, and then you see the need from the different needs over time. So we have situations from customers that receive pipeline through gas, which have a different bottleneck than customers receiving pipeline from an offshore platform, which you have to take in consideration as well, the supply chain, the well to cargo type of optimization as well.
Yeah.
So we have done a lot of innovation with them. Some solutions nowadays, they are golden standards for that, like an APC,
mm-hmm.
an advanced process control,
yeah,
or an asset reliability and so
sure.
on.
Yeah.
But we have been pushing the boundaries of that now with the new technologies, especially in the sense of, how can I leverage that underlying
mm-hmm.
Solutions and bring the agentic AIs, or the power
mm-hmm.
of AI, and also the computational power that is coming
mm-hmm.
now and is becoming available to us.
Yeah.
How can we leverage that to bring additional insights?
Yeah.
0.5%, 1% improvement.
You're talking real money.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah.
And it's additional spot cargoes.
Yeah.
And if you compare today's, I think today's spot cargoes are around $19.
Yeah.
It's a lot of money compared with the LTAs the traditional LTAs.
It always seemed to me that the combination of the process automations business in Honeywell, along with the process technology, the former UOP, the real down to the details on the chemistry, was just such a powerful combination. It's great to see that it's a huge advantage for your organization.
I think it is the secret sauce that we have.
That's a good way to put it.
Because UOP has a long history of and credibility in the market.
Oh yeah.
Of on the different types of molecules, right? And then the acquisition of Honeywell LNG, the former Air Products LNG, it positioned us on a very, very favorable situation because we can really start blurring the boundaries between the equipment, the process, the automation, the energy, and how all of them play together. So even internally, we changed the way we are doing things. I would say this, Honeywell was, as a pure automation player, Honeywell has 100 plus years of experience on that, right? Then you bring someone that is a pure OEM player, and then they have to together start thinking about new revenue streams, new ways of going to market, new solutions, and what else they can offer to the customer. So that has been extremely, extremely exciting.
Yeah.
And we have, you can see that all the solutions that we bring to market on LNG, they are infused with the domain expertise.
Yeah.
And that wouldn't be possible if we wouldn't have the access to that internally as part of the same group.
Seems like a powerful combination. Well, I feel like we could talk about this stuff for hours.
But, absolutely.
I just wanted to thank you so much, Marcus, for sharing your perspectives on LNG's evolving place in the world and how it can be put to optimal use. Really appreciate it. Once again, this is Keith Larson. You've been listening to a Control Amplified podcast. With my guest today, Honeywell's Marcos D'Attilio. Congrats again on the 50th anniversary of the user group meeting here this week, and best wishes for continued success. Really appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you, Keith. Really do appreciate you having me.